The 10 o'clock hour of Wildy and Tausch begins now. And if you came here for some Packers conversation, now is the time to get it. And I want to start not with the draft conversation, which I also want to have. But this morning, Ian Rappaport was the first to report that Isaiah Simmons, the former 8th overall pick in the 2020 NFL draft.
Clemson kid, right? Clemson?
The Packers, of course, selected Jordan Love with the 26th overall pick.
Remember that one.
In that
draft. Good pick.
And you may not be surprised by this. Isaiah Simmons, who will turn 27 in July, under 30, so of course Goody's interested in him, had a 9.97 relative athletic score coming out for the draft. So we love the RAS out of Clemson, as Tausch correctly stated. But he was the 8th overall pick. He has not had a ultra productive NFL career. And now he did not get the 5th-year option from the Cardinals. He was traded to the Giants for a 7th-round pick, and now he's out there again. And Tausch, two things. One, you gave me a hard time when I said on my to-do list for Goody was to find a bargain-type player who could be your Zach Bond. This guy would seem to fit the bill.
Yeah, you just said find Zach Bond is what you said, but your point's taken.
Second, is this further evidence that first-round picks always have to prove they don't belong in the league, while if Isaiah Simmons was a 7th-round pick, not sure there'd be any ballyhoo about the Packers bringing him in for a visit.
Well, I don't think there's a ton of ballyhoo. There's a little bit of boo. What was Devontae Campbell? What round pick was he?
Good question.
So
that, fourth, something like
it's
that.
It's very similar. Yes, first-round picks get more love. That's the world that we live in. They get more opportunities. They get more chances because typically they have all of those tangible things that you're looking for, the RAS score and the athleticism. All that's how you end up being a first-round pick because you're not only judging production, you're judging what they can be, what they could be. And sometimes guys are miscast. Sometimes you try and fit somebody into a system that isn't going to definitely benefit them. Had Aaron Kampman gotten drafted under Dom Capers as a 3-4 outside, would he have been a good football player? Maybe. Would he have had the impact that he had? Doubtful. Don't know if they would have drafted him. So in these cases, Zach Bond was a guy in New Orleans, and I don't even remember where else he was, if it was just New Orleans. Was he a bust? No. But was he the guy that we saw in Philly? No. There's an interesting video of Fangio basically going in and telling Howie Roseman, those guys, this guy could be a star in our system. I see what he does. I watch film. I've been coaching for blanking amount of years, 30 years, whatever it's been.
Mm-hmm.
And I know he's going to be able to make a huge impact for us. Now, I hope Jeff Hafley went and said, hey, this guy can make a monster impact for us. We have a role that is tailor-made for him. I don't sense that, but I'm sure in Philly, on their sports talk last year, nobody was sitting there saying, this guy's going to be MVP, a potential depoy and an MVP for our team.
First team all pro.
Would it be great if it happens? Yes. Am I envisioning that? No. But is it worth a risk? Yes. And if he could be half the impact player that Zach Bond was, it's a win for the Green Bay Packers.
What's more
likely? What's more likely? He comes, he maybe flashes. Is he going to be consistent enough? Because he has not been. And that's why he is not signed by an NFL team on the 14th of April. Doesn't mean there's not a role. We've seen this movie before. And sometimes these movies are mega hits, but most of the times they're not.
He's a fascinating tweener type guy. Like, he played safety, he played linebacker, he played slot corner at times. So he's a different type of player. And again, he's on the market for a reason. But he's 6'3", 239 pounds. He ran a 4.39 40 coming out of college. Like, that's quite the size-speed ratio. I can see the siren song of potential wooing Goody to bring him in for a visit. But at this point, he has gone from the 8th overall pick to not having the 5th-year option picked up, to being traded to the Giants for a 7th-round pick, to being in his home, not on the streets, on April 14th. So this is a Zach Bond, low-risk, high-potential reward type signing. I'm not saying he's Zach Bond. I'm saying that these are the types of signings that make sense at this point in the game. Hope you find a diamond in the rough that can help you, because free agency is essentially over, and now you have to come up with one of these type signings that catches lightning in a bottle, like Devondre Campbell did. And then you sign him to a 5-year, $50 million deal, and that does not work out so well. It's interesting what they're doing at linebacker overall, right? I do wonder, and I mentioned this, I can't remember which show I mentioned this on. Maybe it was yesterday on Sunday Karma, game of Where's Wilde. I saw this from Pro Football Focus. They had a list of potential players that could be traded during the draft, and it listed Quay Walker as one of them.
Interesting.
And I have to admit, that thought did not cross my mind. And the reasoning that they gave was that, A, they have Edger and Cooper. B, they're probably not going to give him the 5th-year option because edge rushers that are listed as linebackers skew the number to a number that's higher than what you would want to pay him. But I thought it would lead the other direction, and Goody would want to sign him to an extension that was under that number and spread the money around.
So maybe the Packers will be proactive, and much like we see with other teams, and we saw this with Geno Smith, we know we're not going to come to terms. Maybe this NFL insider who wrote this is talking to people, and they're saying, Quay ain't going to take the deal that the Packers are offering, and the Packers, like Edger and Cooper, want to give him that run. They just re-signed. I keep forgetting. Is it Wilson that they re-signed?
No, Christian Welch.
Welch.
Pride of Iowa. They re-signed.
So we have that. There's linebackers. We know we're not going to re-sign him if we get a pick that's better than what we think the compensatory pick would be down the road. I would bet that just listening to what the coaches had to say, that is not going to happen. But a lot of times the business side of it will dictate what happens to that player. And Goody always is trying to be proactive with things when he wants to.
Mm-hmm.
This might be one of those cases. Now, is there somebody that is looking out there saying, I need Quay Walker as my linebacker, and I will give up a 2nd or 3rd round pick, which is about the only reason that I would ever see Green Bay doing it?
Mm-hmm.
The answer is no, at least in my opinion.
Mm-hmm.
And if that's the case, I think Green Bay wants to see what a full season can look like with two high price or high picked linebackers. And if they can finally recreate the Varner, the Bowman, the San Francisco treat at linebacker that Green Bay has chased for years, if they finally got it, what this defense could do. I think they want to see that. So I would push back on any trade Quay Walker talk.
Yeah, I would be very surprised by that, like I was when I read that. But again, Doncic.
No,
I'm never going to
rule. No. That's not.
Obviously, I am not comparing Quay
you
Walker
just said
to Doncic.
You can't pick and choose where Doncic applies.
Yes, you can. Doncic has to be completely crazy town. Trading Quay Walker is not completely – trading Jordan Love would be Doncic.
Are you doing this for the cameras?
The cameras
or is
are
this
gone.
Just okay.
So, no.
Good. Well, I'd like to
and
know.
And I don't really appreciate you asking me that. Doncic is Giannis. Doncic isn't Quay Walker. Like, come on now. Doncic has to be a special sliver in the trade community.
I am not going to say anything is ridiculous or I don't see it happening or that's impossible because now something has happened that made no sense to me. And I have been saying that I thought Quay Walker turned a corner and then he got hurt in Seattle. So for me, I'm going to choose to say Doncic, A, because it's fun to say.
I really want Jesse to bleep that. That's how much I disagree with you using Doncic to Quay. You understand what I'm saying. Because you believe that, somebody just reported that. Was there ever
No one reported it. It was someone giving their opinion on a list of players that could be traded.
That's a report.
It's not. No. It's,
was it printed?
It was not based on sources. It was okay. Not. Sources tell me the Packers are shopping Quay Walker. It was a person who compiled a list of players that he or she thought that might get traded during the draft. Jair Alexander was
on
it, too.
In fairness, you brought it up, and I would have not thought that.
Right, kind of like you would have never thought Doncic would be traded.
Yeah, I mean, I couldn't fundamentally disagree more with a correlation than you saying Quay Walker and Luka Doncic are in the same plane. I can't get my head wrapped around that. I'm glad you can, but
get your head wrapped around this. ESPN's Fantasy Focus Football
Podcast. Oh, I thought
you were
flipping me off or something.
Green Bay.
What am I getting my head wrapped around?
On April 23rd. A little over a week away, Field Yates, Daniel Dopp, Mike Clay, Liz Loza, and Stefania Bell are doing a live show at the Tundra Trio. And ESPN Wisconsin wants to send you and a friend up to Green Bay to see the show happen live. Right now, caller number 10. Call it 10 at 844-770-3776. 844-770-3776. Caller 10 wins two tickets to ESPN's Fantasy Focus Football Live at the Tundra Trio. See the show up close, meet all the hosts, get complimentary food and beverages, and Fantasy Focus Football Podcast merch. That's caller 10 right now at 844-770-3776. More Wilde and Tausch straight ahead. Stick around.
This is Wilde and Tausch, presented by Pella Windows and Doors of Wisconsin. Call Gina Della from Pella today, 855-PELLA-WI, and online at PellaWI.com/radio.
Give me one reason to steer, and I'll turn right back around. You can see the time. Give me one reason to steer, and I'll turn right back.
NFL draft is a little over a week away. And our friends at ESPN and our buddy Rob Domofsky have put together quite the scuttlebutt when it comes to the draft across the league. He asks an important question on ESPN.com and ESPNWisconsin.com. Could this finally be the year the Packers break their trend of not taking a wide receiver in round one? Tausch, do you think Rob thinks this is the year, and do you think this is the year?
I don't think this is the year. Listen, man, I am not sitting here Kuypering or Matt Bowening it, looking at every wide receiver, quarterback, etc. I do think that if we can find a way to get Dart to go before Green Bay, which it sounds like maybe
Jackson
play,
Dart, Ole Miss,
then all of a sudden you start looking, and Green Bay knows they need to get a difference maker on that's in that position group. They can like all their guys that they want, but Christian Watson's, depending who you ask, going to be out for an extended period of next season. And you want to get your $55 million quarterback as many weapons as you can so that he can lead his offense to bigger things than what we've seen, more consistent things. And I think from a watching how Green Bay operates and the success that we have had with second, third, seventh round pick wide receivers, it's great. But last week when you mentioned all of the first round wideouts that Green Bay has drafted, which is four in the Super Bowl era, and then you listed who they were, you're talking about two Hall of Fame players in James Lofton and in Sterling Sharp. And this would be one of those years. Again, I want an O-lineman. I want a D-lineman. I want impact players up front. But if you can find somebody that is a Justin Jefferson that can be that kind of impact player, I want you, if you have a strong enough conviction, go for it. If it's a Jalen Reagor or someone of that ilk, you have now set your team back again. So I don't think this is the way Goody's going to go. I think he's looking, but I think Goody is going to always remember Ted saying they just don't make as many big guys that can move.
Mm-hmm.
And that's where I think you look at it with the depth that, you know, Mel Kiper mentioned on the defensive side of the ball. I think that's where this group ends up going. And then finding a wideout in that second round, the Jordy Nelson clone. That's how I would approach this.
Well, Rob doesn't commit to that either, which, again, being the bold guy that he is, it's hard to project the Packers picking a first-round wide receiver until they actually do it. So, I'm with him on that. Not going to believe it till it actually happens. Rob also says a rival scout told me that his team expects the Packers to focus on adding defensive players for Jeff Hafley's scheme in the early rounds. He predicted that Green Bay would draft a cornerback in round one and a defensive tackle in the second round before shifting to a value receiver pick in round three. Now, is this the same? Now, this is from someone other than Rob Domofsky.
That was from
Matt Miller. Matt Miller.
Kind of rude of the rival scout to give him the whole blueprint there.
Rude. But how does he know what his actual plan is, right? He doesn't know Goody any better than any of us, probably. But would you be okay if that ends up being the case?
Listen, it's
a lot of investment in the defense again.
Yeah, I want a good football player. I think this team, yes, there's needs. Yes, we all have talked about wide out, corner, edge. Like, that has been it. But are you going to be bummed if they find a center or a right guard that is, you know, Quinnen Nelson, somebody that is just a dog? I'm not. I understand the let's find a guy that will fit a need and really play. That's what we all want.
Sure.
But I want a good football player. I don't want, when you start reaching and thinking this might be, instead of, I know this is a good football player. I know this guy loves football. I know he's going to come in. He's going to do what we ask. And he's got the talent to do it. And we'll figure everything else out. You typically have a lot of success. It's when you start thinking, man, I need to get a corner. I need this to stop the Minnesota's wideouts or to do this. I got to have him. And then you bring him in and it's, ugh. That's when you get in trouble. So just give me a good football player. Period, thin. Don't care what position.
So here's the question I have for you and I have for our fans, and I was going to tweet this out because, again, not a fan. I cover the draft, and I tell whatever stories come out of said draft. What could Goody do in the first round that would disappoint you?
Quarterback. Quarterback. That's a great question. It's a really good question. But outside of quarterback.
Not sure the answer was all that great.
It is. Because outside of quarterback or specialist, where are you going to be mad? If they pick up Ashton Jeanty, I ain't going to be mad.
I was about to say Jeanty.
But you could say Jeanty.
Yeah.
You don't want a dynamic home run hitter at running back. Yeah, that'd be terrible.
I don't want a running back as a pick in round one of the draft when there are a few other holes on the roster that they're close to filling to pursue a Super Bowl title. They still have those holes if they draft Ashton Jeanty in the first round, no matter what pick they use.
Maybe. But they also have a home run hitter that's going to make that offense even more explosive, and then that might help the wideouts. Like, this isn't a zero-sum game. This is moving parts, figuring out what that's going to look like. If you add Ashton Jeanty to this team, you don't think that's going to – you would be disappointed? They're saying he has the capability. He is probably the most prized running back recruit since Saquon. Since Saquon. Think Philly was upset that they picked up Saquon?
I don't think so, no.
I don't either.
I thought Bijan Robinson was that guy.
He's been good, too.
Back in the day, Trent Richardson was going to be the greatest thing that ever come out of the draft, and Leonard Fournette was going to revolutionize the running back
position. With Tampa.
Yeah, and it was like his third team.
Second or third. I'm not going to be disappointed with Ashton Jeanty. I'm going to promise you that. He ain't going to be there. If you grab Ty Warren, you're going to be disappointed. Well, we got Tucker. We got Musgrave. No.
What if he trades out to accumulate more picks?
Nope.
Will you be disappointed then?
Nope. Only that way I'm going to be disappointed. I just told you. You guys don't have to agree with me. Quarterback or specialist? Outside of that, get me a great football player.
Hmm. So, Jesse, Jeanty is who would disappoint you.
Yes, and I hate that I'm in this camp because I like Ashton Jeanty. I like Boise State. We've been down this road. I love watching Boise State football. I have an aunt who lives out there. I like the team before they became popular. I like Boise State. I do not want the Packers to draft Ashton Jeanty in the first round this year. That'd be a waste of a pick.
Almost as bad as drafting a quarterback because you have Josh Jacobs. That's your argument.
Yes. And running back is still a replaceable position, and even if you need to have someone else step in for Josh Jacobs, it can be easily covered up compared to holes on the offensive line or on the pass rush.
844-770-3776, 844-770-3776.
Did you answer that question, J-Dub? Did I miss it?
Yeah, no, he's not. I explained it when I asked the question. He's not going to disappoint me. I don't care.
He drafts Jackson Dart. You're not going to be disappointed?
No, it's a fascinating story because then what the hell is that saying about Jordan Love?
He's not going to. I don't think. If he drafts a second-round quarterback, is that an indictment of Jordan Love? How about third?
It's going to be a heck of a day two story, isn't it?
Where do we draw? What's the line of demarcation that it's not a big deal?
Day three.
Okay. Yeah.
Fifth
round. Grabs a quarterback.
Sean Clifford region.
Okay, so if he grabs a quarterback fourth round, we're going to say, oh, boy.
No.
I'm not.
Fourth round is day three.
All right, third round. You're going to say, oh, boy?
Yeah.
Yeah.
I am.
Really?
And I'm going to say, are they going to trade Malik Willis then because they think they can get something for him?
Okay. Is this the one year that you don't even think about drafting a quarterback? You go anti-Ron Wolf?
So I would like to, if I may, read from channel3000.com because this is where I was headed.
Who wrote that?
Eric Franke.
Frankster!
We will get to that coming up. Tausch needs to tell us about this amazing contest. I saw him did a... He did a video.
Him did a... him did a... Oh, you don't do that to me? Every blanket time? Like, come on. Have a sense of humor. Him did a...
Tausch did a video on his social media to promote this great contest, and now he's going to stop being a knob and tell you more about this great contest with Kohler Services.
Indeed. Thank you, Jason. Him did a big time little deal on, I think I sent that over on Friday. Maddie put it out. I had a couple woofs because there are some ugly blanking showers in the state of Wisconsin and around. And if your shower is one of the ugliest in Wisconsin, upload a photo to goodkarmabrands.com/Wisconsin contest. Is that going to be easier now with the ESPN Wisconsin app?
It is easier with the ESPN Wisconsin app, the all-new ESPN Wisconsin app. You can find the link right to the contest page. You can find the link to this contest and all the contests we have going on. Yeah?
Send a photo of your bathroom, and you're going to get a chance to win a free shower remodel. Yeah, for free, you heard me correctly. One lucky fan will win a free shower remodel from Kohler Services, including a design consultation, demolition and removal of your existing shower or bath, and an installation of a brand spanking new Kohler Lugstone shower. Upload that photo by April 30th to goodkarmabrands.com/Wisconsin contest for your chance to win a free Lugstone Kohler shower at your house.
And it's also easy because if you're watching on the video stream, we reached out to our IT team and our graphics team, and him did a QR code here.
Him did a good one.
Get one up here for you. You can just scan that, and that takes you right to the landing page to enter.
Yeah, I tried that, and I ended up taking photos, and it. Him did a not understand that. Him did a.
We'll take a look at the idea of Goody wanting to draft the developmental quarterback in every draft. Not happening, Captain. We'll explain next. It's Wilde and Tausch.
This is Wilde and Tausch, driven by Zimbrick Chevrolet in Sun Prairie on 100.5 ESPN. See their full inventory at ZimbrickChevrolet.com.
Channel3000.com, you can read the first of my draft preview series where we take a look at where the Packers stand at each position, take a look at the top prospect at each position. I try to go off the board a little bit with my pick to click, my choice for quarterback is Graham Mertz. Not giving up on my hopes for my Bo Callahan. Coming back from an ACL tear that ended his season after five games.
And I sent you this, and I know this is a little bit, it's a lot sensitive, so I have to be very careful here.
Oh, no.
Well, Graham Mertz, some thought, it's not the Graham Mertz story, but what was the name of the dude from draft day? Bill Callahan.
Bo Callahan.
Bill Callahan was someone else.
Bo Callahan had nobody show up at his birthday party, right? And that sent off red flags, correct, to NFL executives, and that was one of the reasons that Kevin Costner didn't pick him. Is that a fair? I just want to make sure I got a fair assessment.
That's correct, yeah.
Do we remember who his agent was? And who would have probably, you know, been hanging around at that point?
The actor.
Yeah.
You're stealing other people's material now and passing it off as your own.
I'm not saying.
You've come up with some sort of brilliant joke.
No, I was trying to cite it. I don't remember who tweeted it.
You never tried to cite it at all there.
Well,
you just started trying
finish.
To tell the story.
Hey, when you do a bibliography, do you put it in the beginning of the paper or at the end? Yeah, I got you on that one.
A lot of times it's in the paper.
Sean Combs was the actor who played his agent in the
film.
P. Diddy.
There probably should have been an evaluation. You know, Kevin Costner. I'd be curious how Callahan ended up playing in the NFL.
Draft day two.
That'd be good. A recap of how draft day. How did Mac play? Was he a good player? Did you get injured? You have a great career? That would be intriguing to me. So I've always said that Survivor movie should be sequelized. I'm starting to think Draft Day should be sequelized.
I would watch Draft Day, too.
I would, too.
Like, Mac got hurt. Sonny gets fired. Gets a new job with a new team because he still fleeced the Seahawks.
They end up trading everything away and picking up a quarterback, paying him the first all-guaranteed contract. And it turns out the way it did.
He gets the job with the Seahawks, replacing the guy that he fleeced in the draft because he got got.
Yeah.
And so it didn't work out in Cleveland. He goes to Seattle and then inherits Bo Callahan as a quarterback.
Oh, and then you have to wonder, just like McCarthy and Rodgers, does that relationship work out? Because he didn't want me. Matter of fact, he kind of sewered me a little bit with nobody liked me and all this other stuff.
Mm-hmm.
And thank God there was that Seattle blog that forced the Seattle's GM's hand into getting Callahan.
And now we got to figure out if he's going to pay him a new contract or draft a quarterback.
Callahan's doing a regular weekly hit with that blog
because
that blog got him that gig. That's a fascinating. There's a lot of twists and turns.
This might
in that
be
movie.
Better than the original.
Jason, that'd be a good movie, you have to admit.
If you go to channel3000.com, you can read about the quarterbacks, and you'll find this interesting nugget. Graham Mertz, who is viewed by Dane Brugler as an undrafted free agent, likely because of what he's coming off of with the knee injury. His father, Ron, played college football as well at Minnesota, where he played for John Gutekunst. How about Graham Mertz as an undrafted free agent to the Green Bay Packers? That's the kind of stuff you'll get if you actually read the story instead of turning the discussion into, hey, how about draft day two? Let's turn the discussion to how much we love Quick Trip instead.
This kind of feels like a blogger pushing a quarterback on a front office. But with the pulling those heartstrings that Gutekunst, hey, his dad played with his dad at all. Would that be a great story if Graham Mertz ended up in Green Bay? I don't know. You know, it's a great story. Quick Trip. Life's busy. Quick Trip gets it. Whether you're craving that fresh coffee, grab-and-go meals or snacks, Quick Trip is your go-to. And Quick Trip has a variety of apps and meals when you are up for it. Sweeten up your game with Quick Trip's Nature's Touch ice cream. You can get a big old pail, chocolate, vanilla, cookies and cream, mint chocolate chip. There's no such thing as a bad pick. And right now you can get that gallon of Nature's Touch ice cream for just $4.99. You can also get Nature's Touch milk for $2.99, sausage links for $2.49. And it's Monday. You know what that means. Rotisserie chicken, $6.99. Head on over today. Again, I think you can get three meals out of it. You can get the meal tonight where you just eat chicken. And you can do some enchiladas.
Of course, you got the enchiladas.
And then you use that for some broth. It's going to be a little rainy and mucky at the end of the week. You make a soup. Three meals for $6.99 out of that chicken from Quick Trip. Can't beat that. Download the Quick Rewards app. Take advantage of everything Quick Trip has to offer. Quick Rewards on every visit. Plus, you can order ahead for pickup or curbside delivery. Quick Trip, we'll see you next time. Jesse, I'd like for you to do an experiment. I'd like for you to go to Quick Trip today, grab that chicken, see how many meals you can get out of that chicken. You and Becca, see how many meals you can make out of that chicken for the course of this week. I can get to three.
I am leaving town at 2:00 and that's not returning until Wednesday afternoon.
That is unfortunate. Okay.
Jason?
It would have been fun, though.
Well, I can't. My
tacos. I got all this other. I got this. I can't do that.
We'll be stopping at a Quick Trip on our way to Maddie's track meet. I can guarantee you that. We'll also next talk about what Goody said about wanting to draft developmental quarterbacks and why I don't think that makes a whole lot of sense when you only have 8 selections in this draft. That's next. It's Wilde and Tausch.
We're on the Packers.
You still want to see that steady play, that steady improvement, and you didn't get it from Jordan Love?
Because we're on Wisconsin Sports.
That just makes the stakes that much higher this season.
Nobody covers the green and gold like 100.5 ESPN.
It's obviously the most important position in our sports, and I think every year it's important to really put a lot of time into those guys to identify them. It's a hard position to play. All you have to do is look at the history of it. It's a hard position to make it in this league. We'll continue to do that, and if there's opportunities, we'll draft them. That's what Brian Gutekunst said at the NFL Scouting Combine about drafting a quarterback.
Thought that was Sonny Weaver.
Ron Wolf presided over 9 drafts. You can read this at channel3000.com during his Packers GM tenure. The 10th one, he basically allowed Mike Sherman to make the picks, and we know how that draft went. He picked 7 quarterbacks in his 9 drafts, and that doesn't even include the Hall of Famer that he acquired by trading a first-round pick to get him. He drafted Mark Brunell. He drafted Matt Hasselbeck. He drafted Aaron Brooks. Goody has drafted 3 quarterbacks in 7 drafts. Can you name them?
Clifford, Love, and is it Magow? Magoo?
Michael Pratt, a 7th-round pick last year.
What's a Magoo? Isn't he a quarterback? Jim?
He was, I believe he was the MVP of one of the spring minor leagues, but he was not a draft pick.
Okay.
So the idea that Goody wants to draft quarterback, did draft one last year in Michael Pratt. He did not make the team. He ended up, I think, in Tampa for a while. I don't know where he is now. But he's only got 8 picks. So if the question is, what could Goody do in the first round to disappoint you? That's one question. Is it realistic, my other question, when you only have 8 picks as of right now and you have holes to fill, to use one on a developmental quarterback on day 3?
Yes, it is for a couple of reasons. And correct me if I'm wrong. This is Malik Willis's last year under contract, correct?
I believe that's correct, yes.
So you do that and you look at where Sean Clifford is still on this roster. Who is going to be your backup moving forward? You don't want to be in a position next season where you don't. You just heard Goody's quotes from your article. And I believe he believes that. This is not one of those years. How many roster spots do you think are legitimately wide open? After the free agency, after all of the things that they've done with player acquisition, do you think there's going to be all 8 draft picks going to make this team? You think all of the developmental guys that they signed after the season are going to make this team? Do you think all 8 of these draft picks? There are different times. Every team needs different things. Mm-hmm. You could make an argument that with how the contracts are set up, backup quarterback needs to be thought about this offseason. Because you feel great. I don't know if we've had a time since Matt Hasselbeck, maybe Matt Flynn for a stretch, that you feel better about where the backup quarterback situation is than right now. But that will change. Will Malik Willis want to go and chase a starting spot? I would think so. He knows Jordan Love. Now, depending on how this season goes, okay, there could be some intrigue. Malik Willis is going to want to go play some more. And if he has to play in a few games and does anything close to what he did last year, somebody's going to say, he's worth a shot. We've seen this. I mean, Daniel Jones is getting opportunities. How many games did Daniel Jones win last year? Malik Willis won single 4 games? 3?
3. Mm-hmm.
So this is the time. And Green Bay's not going to end up with just 8 picks. I got a hunch they're going to maneuver. And even if it ends up being a Graham Mertz as an undrafted free agent, you're going to bring another quarterback into that room to compete and to hopefully grow. And maybe this year, you know, I asked what round. If you go before a 5th, you're typically probably going to lose that player if you cut them after camp. You start getting 6, 7 or undrafted, that's when you stash and you practice squad and you develop and you get them through their system and you get them feeling, understanding what you're looking for. So that next offseason, when Malik Willis probably leaves, Sean Clifford better be ready, or whomever that third quarterback is going to be, that would be my thought process. So I would argue with you and say, this is a year you need to address it, because you can't just wait for, oh, this is going to happen. Packers probably understand, unless Malik Willis loves being the backup here and is willing to do a backup deal to be here for another 3 or 4 years, he's going to realize his only next shot is going to be next offseason. He needs to have a good backup season again and get that opportunity. It ain't going to be in Green Bay unless Jordan Love has a really bad season.
We'll kick off the 11 o'clock hour with some of your thoughts on what could disappoint you in the first round. Plus, we're going to play a little Where's Wildy, and I'll tell you what, man.
What are the
interesting
Packers
guess.
What do the Packers do if someone comes and offers a fourth for Malik Willis this season?
Good question. We can discuss that to kick off the 11 o'clock hour after you tell us about Coors Light.
Coors Light brewed with a three-step cold process, cold lager, cold filtered, and it's cold packaged, so it's made to chill. And nothing better watching Rory, watching the Masters on a Saturday. It's a beautiful day, and you crack open one of those Coors Lights, the silver bullet, big 16-ounce, wide mouth bottle. Mountains are just crystal blue. The sweat dripping off of it, and you just relax with that because that's when you know you're chilling. Celebrate responsibly, Coors Brewing Company, Golden, Colorado.
The 11 o'clock hour starts in 2 minutes, so stick around. It's Wildy and Tausch.
Don't go anywhere. Another hour of Wildy and Tausch, presented by Pella Windows and Doors of Wisconsin, is coming up next on ESPN Wisconsin and the ESPN Wisconsin app.